I want to quickly get you to a level of believing in such a way that you've got faith in your heart that this morning God is about to move mountains. I want to quickly speak to people that knows about mountains. Lift your hands. If you have been facing a mountain the last month, maybe, and again, I want to ask quickly people who has received a promise, maybe you've received a prophetic word and it has not yet come to pass and you're still waiting on the promises of God. Is there such people in this place? Well, I can lift both of my hands. You had a dream and a word and God has not yet brought it to pass. So now I'm in the right place. I want to teach people and preach on something this morning that I believe is going to shift you from the barren to the expectation. Now, who can feel that? My God, you have to be dead if you can't feel that something is birthed or being birthed in the spirit. God is about to do something in the body of Christ that the world has not yet seen ever before. I've studied the book of John so intensely, and I've seen that when Jesus came to earth, he came to earth just to reveal himself to the world as the Son of the living God. He came to earth to prove his deity, to prove how powerful, how mighty he is, that he is the Son of the living God. And he came to earth, and the scripture says that everything that he was doing out of the perfect will of the Father. Please shout perfect will. Come on again, perfect will. Come on, I need to hear you, perfect will. He did nothing outside of the perfect will of God. And I ask you right now, forget your problems at home. Forget everything now and focus on the Word of God. This is the highest authority this morning, is the Word of God. Is somebody listening to me? So forget your situation at home and look me straight in the eyes and take this word in the mighty name of Jesus. So Jesus came to earth and the scripture says he was healing the sick and delivering the poor and set the captives free, and even his own brothers didn't believe in him. There's a scripture that says his own brothers doubted him and did not believe in him. But I've studied something profoundly. You see, this is in the flesh. And I don't care what the world says. I don't care what Google says about this. My God is a supernatural God that can take something that is dead and turn it around for your good. Who hears me? It doesn't matter if your situation has been dead for 4 days. When God steps into your time, you don't hear me. If God steps into your time, he changes everything around. Jesus came to earth preaching a gospel of the kingdom for 3 years. 3 years. Jesus didn't preach when he was just born. He preached at the first time in his life when he was 30 years old. So for 3 years, what did he do for 3 years long? For 3 years, he preached the message of the kingdom, declaring to the world that he is the Son of God, and very, very few believed him. Because we have carnal people. And to have the flesh understand that he's a supernatural God, many people don't understand that. Many people look at this situation and not at the way maker. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody in this place. But something that got me is when Jesus died, he went into the underworld. And the Bible says he was preaching to the fallen angels. He was preaching the same message. But this time he spent 3 days in the underworld. In other words, what took Jesus 3 years in the flesh took him 3 days in the spirit. What people for 3 years couldn't grasp, the spirit nature understood that in 3 days. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that if they knew who they crucified, they would have never crucified Jesus Christ. So I declare this to you, that when Jesus walked in the underworld, when he died, the first moment when he stepped in, everything was revealed that he tried to preach for 3 years on this earth. When Jesus stepped in, every principality, every power, every fallen angel knew that this is the Son of the living God. Why do I say what I say? Because I believe that God is going to reveal something to you right now. Things that took you years, God will accomplish for you in seconds. And the only reason how it comes is we have to create an appetite. An appetite for the supernatural. An appetite for the fire of God. Come on, an appetite for the impossibility. An appetite that he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. You have to get an appetite. I declare this, open your mouth and eat in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I feel like preaching. Jesus went to a wedding at the age of 30. At the age of 30, he went to Cana, and the scripture says that he was there at a wedding, and the wine dried up. There was no more wine. And Mary, his mother, was so desperate, you hear me, desperate to reveal him as the miracle worker. Because, listen now, she carried him in her womb. And for 30 years, she had a promise that this is a waymaker. This is a miracle worker. But Mary, with her own eyes, didn't see the miracle. Who hears me? She had seen no miracle. She had the promise. I'm speaking to those of you with a promise. She had a promise. He will be the waymaker, the miracle worker. And you better hear me. She got up. She said to Jesus, "Jesus, the wine is dried up." And Jesus said something that hit me right here. "What does it have to do with me, woman? My time has not yet come." What is Jesus saying? Don't tell me about this. The perfect will of the Father has not yet come for me to do miracles. What did Mary say? "Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, guys." No. She went to the disciples. She said, "Whatever he tells you, do it." In other words, her heart moved God's, the Father, in such a way that she was placing such a demand that she moved the Father to shift something in his time into ours. And it was not even the time for miracles, but her heart moved God to act before the perfect time. People don't understand, when the anointing flows, if there's no demand on the anointing available, you'll receive nothing. The biggest mistake that people make is people are familiar. People have this familiarity. When they saw Jesus, they said, "This is just the son of Joseph. This is just a carpenter's son." And even his own brothers couldn't believe him. This is why Mary, his mother, she was the one that was walking with a promise. You see, it doesn't matter what people around you think. As long as you walk with the promise, you can demand things in the spirit. I said, as long as you walk with the promise, open that mouth and declare the word of God. As John 3 says, "He whom God has sent speaketh forth the word of God." It's time that you say, "Oh God, give me an appetite." Wherever you walk, this is what we've discussed last week Sunday. We are a resting place for the Spirit of God. Wherever I walk, the atmosphere must shift. This is why when people see you and they don't like you, it's not you. It's the Spirit that you carry. Come on, it's the dream. It's the dream that you carry. Oh, hallelujah! You're pregnant with something. This is what we need to understand. God moves wherever there's a desire in our hearts, wherever we place a demand on the anointing of God. Now, I need to get this to somebody. Somebody better hear me right now. The scripture says, "Be angry and sin not." Jesus became angry. He made a whip and he was starting hitting them. Read the book of John. With his own whip, nobody touched him. He touched them. But the Spirit remained upon him. We give our lives to Jesus, we do not become wimps. We are nobody's floor mat. Am I speaking to you right now in this place? This is the problem with our Christians. We think because we are meek, we're supposed to be weak. We're not weak Christians, we're meek Christians. But there's a lion that's roaring on the inside of us. And that lion demands us to have an appetite like a lion. I want to read your scripture. The Bible speaks about two ladies, Penina and Hannah. And we all know that Hannah had no children. Please say, Hannah had no children. Now in 1 Samuel 1, verse 3 goes on. He says, "This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came, Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all his sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah." Please say, he loved Hannah. Although the Lord had closed the womb. God has closed the womb. And it goes on, it says, "And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." The first thing that when you become sick, you're not getting hungry no more. The first sign that you are off, you are down, is you don't hunger no more. Hello. There's no appetite. The first thing that goes to your appetite. Some people say that they are emotional eaters. Other people just, they don't eat. And Hannah was not an emotional eater. Hannah didn't eat no more. She lost the appetite. Please say she lost the appetite. Now, I want to read this to you again. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord has closed the womb. You know, the prophetic will always harass the prophetic. The past will always hate the future. Or the past will always harass the future. How many people knows what I'm talking about? That you just see your future, but your past is harassing you. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I declare this prophetically, that you're about to give birth to a Samuel, and every rival mouth will be shut in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because I believe that there's people who has not yet received their promise, and there's a reason why you've not received your promise, and I'll teach this to you. Verse 9 says, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the door, post of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Verse 17 says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate. Please say ate. And her face was no longer sad. The problem is not God that forgot about your womb. God was waiting for you to get ready to carry it. God will never give you something that you cannot carry. Most people, the promise is on the shelf. It's not forgotten because God is preparing your womb to carry what you're supposed to give birth to. Am I speaking to you right now? The Bible says she stopped eating. There was no more food that she wanted to digest. But when something happened, and this is what people need to hear, I declare this prophetically right now, your Samuel will come when you eat. I'm going to say that again. Your Samuel will come when you start to eat. Every promise in the book of the Bible is yes and amen. But every single word, every single promise is attached to one scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. People, here's a revelation. Don't ask God, Lord, give me financial breakthrough. Ask God, keep me hungry to eat of your righteousness, to drink of thy righteousness. Give me an appetite for you, O God. And when we eat of him, this is why Jesus said, if you do not eat of me, you will have no part whatsoever. Our problem is not God that's delaying our promise. God is waiting for us to get ready, to get our wombs ready, to eat. Oh, come on, somebody better shout hallelujah in this house. God is about to change your family. Do you know what's the problem? Yeah, I'm going to say it bluntly. I don't care how many people are angry at me right now. The problem is today that people want miracles and they get their breakthrough and they run off and they never eat again. And they think that God is just a God that wants to pour it down and then leave you. No, he's a personal, intimate God. When God starts to bless you, you better testify. You better tell the world what God has done for you. If God restored your family, he restored your business, let all of heaven know that God. Woo! We run away. We no longer eat. And when we do no longer eat, we become sick. When we become sick, the scripture says, when she ate, she expected Samuel. I wish I can get this to you. The 21st century teaches us, and it's nothing wrong on asking God for things. There's nothing wrong. If you have a personal relationship with the Lord, Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father. But our first mandate must not be, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. The first mandate must be, keep me hungry. Oh God, give me this appetite. I want to eat of your righteousness. I want to walk in your joy. But the Bible says, when she received the word, she ate, she stopped weeping. Weeping just lasts for a night, then joy comes. So she's eating of his righteousness. She's walking in the joy of the Lord. And then she became pregnant with something supernatural. am I speaking to you in this place? The promise that you are waiting for will come when you eat. I pray to the Spirit of God that He will reveal what I'm trying to get to you. I can preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, prophesy Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. If there's no hunger in you, you will never be able to contain and sustain. Satan robs you, no longer are you eating. It's time to eat, saints. It's time to eat and run after His righteousness, being in the right standing of God. And this is the promise that He has for you and your children. Even on God's timeline. And I say this with all due respect, even on God's timeline, a heart that's after God will move God in such a way that what took you 3 years in the natural will take you 3 days in the spirit. I declare this, that when you start to walk in faith and you digest everything for 30 years, Mary knew, I was eating of, think about this. Think about getting, you know the Son of God in such a personal way that you gave birth to Him. You saw Him bath, you saw Him grew up, and you knew that there's a promise. There's a promise in the making. This is a small miracle worker. And you're so expectant to see a miracle, but you know that you have to wait on God's timing. But here comes the time where Mary was moved. For no longer could she sit silent. For now Mary was hungry to see Him revealed as a miracle worker. And this is why people need to get hungry to see Him revealed as a miracle worker. You haven't heard this. Mary was hungry to reveal Him as the miracle worker because she had a promise for 30 years that He's the way maker and the miracle worker. And at this moment in time, she was so hungry that she wasn't even moved by what Jesus said. What do I have to do with you, O woman? And she turned around and she started moving the Father by her faith. And she said, whatever He tells you to do, you better just do it. And do you know what? I say this with respect. It's like Jesus turning to His Father and say, Father, our plans have changed because this woman has moved me. She's moved me with my faith. And then Jesus said, come on, bring the pots and fill them to the brink. And then He said, come, take whatever you want to take. And the water turned into wine. This is when God starts to show up, is when we are hungry after His righteousness. You can sit on your promise, or you can be hungry to see it revealed. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Who in this house says this morning, I want to jump to my feet and declare the word of God that every promise is yes and amen. And I'm hungry to reveal Him as my way maker. Somebody needs to shout. I need somebody to jump. I need somebody to shout. I need somebody to run. Come on, somebody needs to see the miracle is coming on. There must be an expectation. Now hear me quickly, just hear me. If you are pregnant in the natural, what do? You prepare for the child to come. You buy nappies and milk and clothing. Is that correct? So why am I looking at people that's not preparing? You're about to give birth to your Samuel. I'm going to try my friends over here. Why don't I see you preparing? You're about to give birth to your Samuel. And that will shut the mouth. Do you know what? Even when God shut her womb, do you know what's the most powerful thing for me? The Bible says that God used her son. God didn't use a rival son. God used her son. And her son was accurate. Her son was, I like to call Samuel a man after God's own heart. He prophesied as God wanted him to prophesy. You see, this is the thing, even if it takes you a little bit longer. It may take you a little bit longer. It might be a little bit harder for you. He who has promised is well able to fulfill every single dream. You see, I need to challenge you right now. I need to stretch your mind. I need to stretch your faith with me in this place. Is somebody listening to me right now? You cannot get this child unless you are expectant. I want to speak to people that's expectant right now. That says, I'm going to be like Mary. I'm going to move God to do His will in my life now. Wave at me if you're the right person. Wave at me if you've got faith in your heart. How many are waiting? How many are expectant? Come on, how many are hungry? How many says, Lord, open my mouth. Help me to eat. Help me to eat. It's when you eat and you walk out in joy of what's coming. You know, this is why Jesus said, if you don't enter like a child and believe like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Because a child doesn't have to see that you're going to buy him a bike. You just say, I'm buying you a bike, and he believes that. I need to speak to children. That God had made a promise. Maybe you don't have the finances to see it come to pass. That's fine. Maybe you don't have the people. Maybe you don't have the knowledge. Maybe you don't have the background. Maybe you don't have the university's degree. Come on, maybe you don't have the organs. Maybe you don't have. Maybe you don't have. Maybe you don't have the eardrums. Maybe you don't have the eyesight. Maybe you don't have the means. Maybe you don't have the friends. Come on, maybe you don't have the resources. It doesn't matter. You have to get an appetite for the supernatural. Please show me one scripture. I've studied this Bible. I've studied this Word of God. And I've seen every single time when a situation seems at a place where even God can't do anything. That's when the miracle happens. It's like God's power being released in the most difficult of situations. Come on, whenever there was a war and there was 32,000 Israelites, God says, no ways, I'm not going to get the glory for your story. And eventually there's 22,000, God says, no, you're not doing me no favor. And eventually there was 300 people, and God says, okay, here we go. This is an impossible situation, but now I will show up, and I will show the world that I am the great I am. It's not about the numbers. It's about who has got your back. It's what you carry on the inside of you. Shout hallelujah. People are no longer expectant of the supernatural. Why do we go to church? Always, I come expectant. No Muslim goes to the mosque and say, I'm expecting a miracle. No Hindu Buddhist goes to a temple and say, oh, today miracles are going to happen. But we come because we believe that our God reigns supreme. We believe that our God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe that our God is a way maker and a miracle worker. And by the way, for you out there, he's the same today. He's the same last week and the week before that, and he will be the same forever. He's the unchanging one. Why do you say this? If Mary moved him. You didn't hear me. If Mary moved him, you can move him too. He's the same miracle worker. And I want to say this free of charge. He still heals. He still saves. He still delivers. He never stopped. He never stopped. Am I speaking to you? He still makes a way where there seemed to be no way. As long as you try to open up the doors will remain shut. But if you get an appetite and say, Lord, there's four doors closed before me, but the doors that's closed before me will reveal your goodness. And you step back and you see the way maker burst through walls and break down walls. That's when you will see your miracle. But get hungry. Eat again. And when you eat, the promise will come to pass. I was here last night. I got here praying. And the Spirit of God came all over me. I was just praying in tongues. I can't even tell you how long. Heaven came down. I said, heaven came down in this place and God met me. And it came to my spirit. So many people got so many promises. And the promises has not yet been fulfilled. But somewhere along the line, you've become weak and tired and dormant. And there's no longer hunger in you. And you know, this is the saddest part. And I'm gonna teach you this in at 10 o'clock. If I said last week Sunday, I said that when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the book of John, he came as a dove. Who remembered that? And when he came as a dove, and the scripture says in the book of John, the only gospel that says that the Spirit remained on him. So, remember what I said Sunday, for the sake of those of you who are not here, think about what I'm saying. And it's gonna add on to what I'm preaching this morning. If you have a dove sitting on your shoulder, you have to take care of the dove. Because the dove is a sensitive bird. It flies off like this. So when the dove came descending on him, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, your whole walk changes. Because now you have in mind the dove. Every step that you take, you consider the dove. Who remembered when I said that? So that's if you think about that, that blew my mind. It blew my mind because the first instance that God revealed the Holy Spirit to the world is as a gentle dove. It means He's sensitive. There's so many people that sit here, and I love you, but I need to say this, who has not had a clue. Gone. You've got the presence within, but the presence with on, gone. Because the way you take care of Him. But Acts chapter 2 speaks about a fire. The Holy Spirit came down as a fire. It reveals something to us as a church. Why as a fire? Because here God is teaching the church, the only way that we can keep the fire upon is to keep adding the wood. Keep adding the wood. If you have a brine, there's no wood, there's no fire. And when the fire starts to die, listen, the fire will only die once the wood stops. This is why when people have no desire, this is why people serve God for 20 years of their life, and then suddenly somewhere along the line, they miss the whole plot. They just take things as it come. I declare to you in the name of Jesus that God's kingdom is here right now. Come on, in the here and in the now. You don't need to wait until you get to heaven before there's a breakthrough. He gives you your breakthrough now. The Bible says, pray as it is in heaven, so it shall be on earth. Come on, He's the God of the now. Am I speaking to you? Our problem is our hunger for God. Our hunger for righteousness is long gone. Because people get offended when you tell them you have to live a holy life. People get offended when you tell them that He's a holy God. People get offended about that. There's no longer people. This is what God says. If my prophets do not warn them, I will require their blood from their hands.